Joshua 17, if you have your Bible tonight. Joshua 17. Now, let's just read verses 12 through 18 for the sake of time, but you ought to read the whole chapter to get the whole gist of it. But verse 12 says, "Yet the children of Manasseh could not drive out the inhabitants of those cities, but the Canaanites would dwell in that land. Yet it came to pass, when the children of Israel were waxing strong, that they put the Canaanites to tribute, but did not utterly drive them out. And the children of Joseph spake unto Joshua, saying, Why hast thou given me but one lot and one portion to inherit, seeing I'm a great people, for as much as the Lord had blessed me hitherto? And Joshua answered them, If thou be a great people, then get thee up to the wood country, and cut down for thyself there in the land of the Perizzites and of the giants, if Mount Ephraim be too narrow for thee. And children of Joseph said, The hill is not enough for us, and all the Canaanites that dwell in the land of the valley have chariots of iron, both they who are of the Bashan and her towns, and they who are of the valley of Jezreel. And Joshua spake unto the house of Joseph, even to Ephraim and to Manasseh, saying, Thou art a great people and hast great power. Thou shalt not have one lot only, but the mountain shall be thine, for it is wood, and thou shalt cut it down, and the outgoings of it shall be thine. For thou shalt drive out the Canaanites, though they have iron chariots, and though they be strong." Joshua chapter 17, verse 12 through 18. There's a real good point here, and I'm going to bring it out tonight. Why some believers fail to grow and go. Why some believers, some Christians, in this case it was believers but not Christians, why some fail to grow and go. Now don't misunderstand. Everybody is on a different level of growth. Some might have just gotten saved. Some may have been saved for months. Some may have been saved for years. Some may have been saved most of their life by now. I've been saved longer than I was not saved, you know. And so we don't judge people by where they are in their Christian life, because if they just got saved last week, I don't expect them to know what I know. If they just got saved last month, I don't expect them to have the convictions that I have yet. If they got saved last year or year, they've been saved a year or more, I expect them to be farther along than that one that was 2 weeks old. Y'all, do you understand what I'm saying? But as we grow in the Lord and the longer we're saved, I've been saved since 1978, and the longer I've been saved, the more I've noticed this, Brother Ron, a lot of Christians get saved and they grow 2 weeks and they never grow any farther than that 2 weeks. Some grow 2 months and they never grow any farther than that 2 months. Some grow 2 years and they never grow any farther than that 2 years. And it's very easy to see, really, once you know who they are and where they come from and things like that. For instance, I read an article one day, carnally speaking, not spiritually speaking, about smoking marijuana and drinking. And said you can usually recognize a man from the 60s or the 70s. You can recognize him because if he started drinking and doing pot and drugs when he was 17, he never matured any farther. He may be 55 in the body, but he's 17 in the head. He never matured any farther. That's why he's got a ponytail. That's why he wears earrings. That's why he still thinks he's supposed to be the baddest man in town. You know, he's 17. He never got past 17. He's 55 in age, but he's really only 17. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Some of you's nodding your head. Some of you's led sheltered lives, and some of you ain't but 17, so you don't know what I'm talking about. But I'll guarantee you, if a man's riding a motorcycle and he's got a ponytail and an earring and he's 65 years old, something's wrong. Amen. It ain't hard to figure that out. Amen. There's something wrong with that picture. Amen. And some of them still wearing the same t-shirt they had on when they were 16, 17. But his belly stick out in the bottom of it. Christianity's a lot like that. You can tell when Christians quit growing. You can tell when Christians quit growing. If they're easily offended. You know, a baby's feelings are hurt real easy. If they're easily offended, they're not growing in the Lord. Unless they just got saved a few weeks ago, a few months ago, then we can overlook that. But if they claim they've been saved for 15 years, 10 years, and they're still easily offended, that tells me they quit growing after a couple of weeks and they've not progressed any at all. Y'all sitting there thinking about people, ain't you? You know exactly what I'm talking about. You know exactly what I'm talking about. Well, why did that happen? Why did that happen? Well, here we've got the story of Israel. They've been given the land. Joshua has taken them into the land of Canaan. They've crossed the river, man. The river divided. And they went across. And now they've got the land. But look at chapter 16, verse 10. And they drave not out the Canaanites that dwelt in Gezer, but the Canaanites dwell among the Ephraimites unto this day. And look what they do. And they serve tribute. Now, we always fail like they did when we do a partial conquest. There's a lot of people, they're trying to live with one foot in the world and one in the Lord's will. And they cannot be successful and they fail to grow anymore because they've only partially had a conquest of the flesh. That's that crowd, they may be saved, but they'll say, well, I don't see nothing wrong with doing a little bit every day. You know, just a little bit won't hurt nobody. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. Just a little bit. Just a little drink. Just a little toke. Y'all didn't know I knew that word, did you? Just one pill. You know, it ain't no big deal. That tells me right there that they have not. Now, God's brought them to Canaan. They're in the promised land. They're part of the family of God. But they've not defeated and they've not driven out everything that they should have driven out. Amen. I'm telling you, when you get born again, you become a new creature in Christ. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. And all those old things pass away and all things become new. And there should have been some drastic changes in your life. And if there was not, then you only halfway. You're partially in the Lord's will. Now, to be partially in is to be out. You can't be half in, half out. But that's where the children of Israel were. They were half in, they were half out, and they didn't drive these people out. And look, God plainly told them, said, when you go in there, drive them out. Kill them all. I mean, he was tough. Kill them all. Drive them out. And they only drove some of them out because, and I'm going to show you in a minute why they only did partial. But when a Christian fails to get complete conquest, they stop growing. And you'll stop right where you are. I've known people get saved and refuse to humble themselves to be baptized, and they never got any farther than that right there. I've known preachers too. I've known people to get saved, get baptized, but then never discipline themselves to get in church completely. And they'd go to church if it wasn't raining, or they'd go to church if it wasn't snowing, or they'd go to church if there wasn't anything good on TV, or there wasn't a sale out at Walmart. And then when they came, you know, they thought everybody in here was supposed to just fall all over them, you know. Easter lilies and Christmas, what they call that flower? Christmas, huh? Yeah, poinsettias. But they quit growing because that's the point right there where they stop. They said, I'll go this far and I'm not going any farther and I'm not going to change this and I'm not going to change that. And that's where you'll quit growing right there because you are only partially submitting to the Lord. Now, you can be saved and be like that. Paul calls them carnal Christians in the New Testament. But look, these Israelites, they knew. God spoke to them and told them, you drive them all out. Verse 10 says, and they drave not out the Canaanites. They didn't drive them out. Why not? Well, I'm going to show you in a minute why not. One of the things this does, it gives you the spirit of compromise. When you don't drive them all out, it will cause you to have a spirit of compromise. For instance, if we're going to keep the young people, we're going to have their kind of music. What if their kind of music's wrong? Well, that's what we got to do, whatever we got to do to keep them. You know, and if we're going to keep these people, if we're going to attract these kind of people, we've got to do this, we've got to do that. So you've slipped yourself into a spirit of compromise, and then you hinder everybody. You hinder everybody. This bunch of people, these Israelites, they'd seen God work. They knew what God would do if they didn't go out completely and do what he said. So God said, drive out every inhabitant, get them all out. And then they got kind of complacent about it. And they said, they ain't that bad. And besides that, we got a lot of work to do around here. They could do some of the work. Now, you get in a church and you get people in charge that are half sold out to the Lord and half not, and they begin to compromise, they'll get lazy and they'll get complacent and they'll put anybody in a position or an office. The average deacon in the average Baptist church today may not even be saved. But he's a good businessman. They say, well, old brother so-and-so, he runs a business, he'd make a good deacon. That's not in the Bible. That's not in the Bible. He could be illiterate and be a good deacon. He doesn't have to be a businessman. But they'll put him in there because they're too lazy to meet the requirements themselves.
Come on now. Yep.
Somebody asked me recently, how many deacons do y'all have? I said, one. Well, why don't you have any more than that? And I said, well, number one, the ones that are capable and meet requirements won't do it. men go so far and they say, well, I'll come to church and I'll even pick up a songbook every once in a while and I'll show up at Sunday school every once in a while. But preacher, I'm not going to do that because there's commitment and there's work and you can't be lazy and be a deacon.
Amen.
Amen. Come on, help me. A lot of churches in this town have died because of that. Because the church, the Christians failed to grow, and then they began to compromise. Then they lost their first pastor, who was a good man, so now they're in a spirit of compromise, and they're complacent. They really don't want to do anything themselves, so they bring in a hireling.
Yeah.
And he wouldn't come if you didn't pay him what he asked. Right. Never would. And I'm talking about ask a specific amount. I have been in churches where we lost pastors and we had to call another pastor. And it would shock you what some men demand. But some churches will do it because they're too lazy to do any work themselves and kind of keep it going until they can get another pastor. You better watch out. You'll stop growing and the church will stop growing and your family will stop growing. I'm talking about spiritually. You'll get complacent. You'll start to compromise when you stop growing. Is anybody listening?
Amen.
Am I telling the truth?
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. Well, let me know every once in a while. Don't get complacent on me. And then not only that, look at verse 16 in chapter 17. In verse 16, then the children of Joseph said, the hill is not enough for us. Oh my goodness. The hill is not enough for us. And then look what he said. He said, and all the Canaanites that dwell in the land of the valley have chariots of iron, both they and who are Bishan and her towns, and they who are of the valley of Jezreel. You know what they're saying? They're saying it's not enough. And listen, they got covetous. They wanted what everybody else had.
Yeah.
Now, the sure sign of a half in, half out Christian, one who's quit growing, is they're greedy and they're jealous and they're covetous. Well, the preacher recognizes Brother Billy all the time. He don't ever recognize me. Well, in this church, that's probably a blessing. I mean, I recognize Danny all the time. But people do. They get jealous of one another, and they get greedy because, listen, they're immature. They quit growing, and they're saved, and they're on their way to heaven, and they have their name in the Lamb's Book of Life, but they're still, I don't care if they've been saved 15, 20 years, they're still little babes in Christ. And a baby is greedy. That's mine. You ever heard that? If you had the young ones, you have. That's mine. That's mine. And they'll fight over almost nothing. You ever notice that? That old Adam in them just comes out. And there's a lot of Christians the same way. They quit growing, Brother Ron, and they'll fuss and fight over everything. And pretty soon you got this crowd over here that hates that crowd back there, and that crowd back there hates this crowd up here. Y'all think I'm joking. I've been in churches like that. Yes, sir. And you got your owners that sit over there. They own the church. You know, they come first, and they bought the bricks, and they own this place. And they never grew. They never grew in the Lord. They grew older, but they didn't grow in the Lord. And now they destroy their church because they're greedy, and they're jealous, and they're covetous, and they want to be recognized, and they want to be applauded, and they want to be lifted up, and they want their name on something. So you got to name a fellowship hall after them. Or you got to start putting up plaques on the pews and everything else. You know, you ever been to those churches where they got the family name on the end of every pew? And you better not sit there either. I don't care if ain't but one of them in family left. You better not sit on that pew. That one gets it. Amen? I preached one time way down below Bennettsville, somewhere back in the country. I was between churches, they were looking for a pastor. A church was established in 1820-something. And I went in there, and I'll be honest, it was like being in a museum. It was beautiful. It was beautiful. It was perfect. The furniture was original. The furniture was probably 1820-something. But they had tags on everything. They had tags on the pews. They had a tag on the offering table. They had a tag on the pulpit. They had a tags in the offering books, the hymn books. They had tags over the doors. They had everywhere it was named after somebody. And I know the church was old, you know. And they had a cemetery in the back, you know. And a lot of them that was in there should have been in the cemetery. It was dead, man. It was dead. And I got up there and I preached. And you know how I am. The more I preach, the more I preach. And I preached. And one man already warned me. He said, "I want you to know we're a church of tradition." I thought that was good. And we have a lot of traditions. I want you to know these people won't put up with a long-winded preacher. I said, "Well, you probably don't want me." And I preached, and at 12 o'clock on the dot, two couples looked at their watch, got up and walked out the door. At 12:01, two more couples walked out. At 12:10, another couple walked out. I thought, "Lord, if I keep on preaching, I won't have nobody in here." So I quit at 12:15. But the church was dead, and the people who had taken charge of it were people who had stopped growing in the Lord, and now they were in charge. They were in charge. I'm telling you, it's a dangerous thing. They have a spirit of covetousness. They want to be recognized. They want to. We're going to pay somebody else to work. Look at verse 17-18. And Joshua spake unto the house of Joseph and to Ephraim and to Manasseh, saying, "Thou art a great people and hast great power. Thou shalt not have one lot only, but the mountain shall be thine, for it is wood, and thou shalt cut it down, and the outgoings of it shall be thine. For thou shalt drive out the Canaanites, though they have iron chariots, and though they be strong." Now, he promised them, he promised them that they was going to have what they needed, and God was going to give them more than they needed. But you know what they ended up doing in this chapter? They ended up hiring the Canaanites to do the work. They did. Have you not noticed in our churches today, the churches hire somebody to do everything? I mean, they hire somebody to do everything. course, in the kind of churches that I've been in, they couldn't afford to pay me, much less anybody else. But we've got churches that have a senior pastor. They have an assistant pastor that all he does is the visitation. They have an assistant pastor that all he does is the nursing homes and the sick and the shut-ins. They have an assistant pastor that all he does is he keeps books and takes care of records. They call him the executive pastor, administrative pastor. They've got all kind. Everybody's got to have a title, every one of them. And then they got to pay them to do it. You know what? For years, I'd pay you to let me preach. Many times I'd go places and preach, pay my own way and pay for everything, and not get anything for it. You know why? I wasn't doing it for the money. I was doing it to help people. And look, these people that are carnal and they're not growing and they're half in, half out, they want to be recognized. They're jealous. They're discontent. They're covetous. And they want to have a title and be paid for it. Y'all hear me? You ever been in a church like that? You felt like you was in some big organization and the CEO was at the top and he had all these assistants and he had a secretary to the secretary. I know you've been in them. Amen. They got them all up north. They got all kinds of, man, they got all kind of organization and all kind of stuff in those churches. You don't even know who to talk to. But see, when Christians fail to grow, then everything gets out of order. Amen. Their priorities change. Yep. Priorities change. When you first got saved, you were just so happy to be saved. Yep. And look, you were so happy you wanted to see everybody else saved. Right. And you wasn't ashamed of it. You were happy to be recognized as somebody that was saved. And then as you grew, somebody told you, look, you need to calm down. I mean, there ain't no sense in you doing all this, Cheryl. You're spending good money to go on a mission trip. You could have bought a new car with that money. You need to calm down, buddy. You come down here with this bunch of rednecks. Now you think you're supposed to go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Sunday school, revival. You think you're supposed to be there every time the door's open. Y'all need to calm down. There's something wrong with you. And so you stop growing and your priorities change. And here's what happens. Instead of wanting to please the Lord, now you want to please people. Can I tell you a secret? Now listen real close. We don't want everybody to hear it. You could check, make sure anybody listen. All right, listen. Don't tell nobody what I'm going to tell you. You can't please people. They're unpleasable. Amen. I don't even know if that's a real word. Is it, Rachel? It's a good one. They're unpleasable. You cannot please man because everybody that you know that you're trying to please is a sinner. And look, they're never going to like the way you do it. So why don't you try to please the Lord and grow some more? Amen? It shocked you how many Baptist preachers started out on fire and wide open for the Lord and trying to please God. And some old long-tongued deacon's wife come to him or some long-tongued Sunday school teacher came to him and said, look, we don't have that kind of stuff around here. You need to calm down. And then he thinks everybody's thinking like that. And there wasn't but one hypocrite thinking like that. So he begins to change his messages and he begins to calm down. A Sunday school teacher will do the same thing. A deacon will do the same thing. Look, if we try to please people, we will never please the Lord, and we're certainly not going to please ourselves because we'll always feel guilty because you can't please people. And then while you're trying to please people, you realize you're not going to please the Lord. And you stop growing right there because you're afraid of what people will think of you. Here's where you got to get. You can't be like them. You can't hire sinners to do your work for you. You got to go and do it yourself, no matter what people think about you. Amen. If God told you to do something, get up and do it. Amen. If He told you to go somewhere, get up and go. If He told you to say something, stand up and say it. In this church, you can stand up and say it. Amen? Amen. long as it's in English. We don't have any interpreters or translators or anything. But you can stand up and say it. Amen? Stand up and say it. Because if you don't, you're going to quench your spirit and you're going to stop growing right there where you halfway obeyed. I was telling Matt this afternoon, when I first surrendered to preach, I went to my pastor. I said, "What do I do now?" He said, "I don't know." I didn't want his job. I just wanted to know what to do. He said, "I don't know." Go talk to the associational director. You know who that is. That's that little pope that sits in that office over there. Yeah, he thinks he knows everything. By the way, that one is ruining his association, making them all into hippie churches. And that ain't the one I talked to. I talked to one that was deader than him. And so I go over and I sit down. I'm a young man of 24, you know. And he said, "What can I do for you?" I said, "Well, the Lord's called me to preach, and I need to know what to do now." He said, "Well, tell me about yourself." And I told him. He said, "Well, you got kicked out of school in 10th grade. We need to send you to night school for 2 years. Get your high school diploma. If you still want to preach, come back. And then when you come back, we're going to send you to one of our Southern Baptist liberal arts schools. You go there for 4 years. And if you still want to preach, when you finish that, you come back." And he said, "Then we'll send you to one of our seminaries," since I have learned there are cemeteries. But he said, "Then we'll send you to one of our seminaries. And if you still want to preach, you come back and I'll help you get a church." And I said, 10 years. Do you know how long 10 years sounds to a 24-year-old boy? I said, "Everybody I know will be in hell in 10 years. That's exactly what I said. I said, "Billy Sunday didn't do that. D.L. Moody didn't do that. My pastor didn't do that." He said, "You're not D.L. Moody, you're not Billy Sunday, and you're not your pastor." And I sit there thinking to myself, "You don't know who I am."
Amen. Yeah. Come on.
But I'll tell you, when I left that day, I didn't stop. Amen. You know what something like that does to me? It ags me on. Is that a real word, ag?
Yeah.
It ags me on. I left out there and I said, "I'm going to show that pinhead. I'm going to show him you don't have to do all that stuff." And I went to that Bible college, what I thought was a Southern Baptist Bible college, lasted less than a semester. I quit, thank God. And then I found me an independent school, and I went to it. And you know what? That guy was out of the ministry within 2 years, and I'm still here. If you don't watch out, you'll fail. I didn't say fall. Everybody falls. A good man falls 7 times. He gets up. People fall and get up every day. Amen. We've all fallen since we've been saved, but we got back up and asked the Lord to forgive you, brush it off, and get back on the path, keep going. But not everybody fails. A fall is not a fail. You understand what I'm saying? A lot of people fail who never really have fallen. They failed because somewhere along the line, they stop growing. Now, a man or woman can fall into sin, get back in the will of God, and keep on going, serve God, and be a success at the end of their life. But you can't fail and stop growing and end up a success at the end of your life. I've known people make a lot of stupid mistakes I never would have made, but they got back up. They got back on the horse. They got back on the bicycle. And they got back on the track. And they finished good.
Amen.
Now, some of you in here, you've fallen. But you haven't failed yet. You're not a failure yet. You're only a failure when you stop growing.
Amen.
If you'll learn by your falls and get back up, you say, "Well, won't do that again. I hurt. I hurt. Won't be doing that again." Amen. Go on. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. That's where you look.
Amen. Yes.
But you got to go. If you'll go, you'll grow. Please don't stop. If you stop growing right now, for the rest of your life, you'll regret because you stopped.
Amen.
I meet defeated Christians all the time who have stopped growing, and they're miserable. And they'll talk about how they used to do this, and they used to teach Sunday school, and they used to preach, and they used to sing, and they used to be a soul winner, and they used to serve the Lord. And something happened, and they stopped growing, and God stopped using them. Now, as a Christian, that's my purpose, is for God to use me. Sister Cheryl, I'm not going to hire somebody to do what I do. It's basically a worldly person. We're not going to hire people to come in here and run the church for us so we can be lazy and sit back. We could hire somebody to take your place if you wanted to. You'd have to pay it, though. Y'all hear me? He said, that'd be cheap. I prayed for years for a real choir director. Holroyd showed up when, well, first he contacted me on Facebook, and then he showed up. I think Holroyd's had a few falls, but I don't think he's a failure, do you? He's still pressing on. He's inspired me. He's inspired some of y'all to join the choir. We've even got a Jones in the choir now. If you get a Jones, everybody's trying to keep up with the Jones. Amen. But children of Israel failed. They didn't fall. They failed. And did you know, because of the way they failed and they quit growing, did you know that Israel was never everything that God wanted it to be? And those people that they spared that they should have run out kept rising up and hurting them. Those same people that they compromised with trying to please them kept rising up and hurting them and the will of God. And the same thing will happen with you. If you start trying to please people and you stop growing, those same people will turn on you. And they'll call you a hypocrite and everything else. You know what you need to do? You need to look at them and say, if you want to go with me, come on. If you don't, leave me alone. I'm going on. You go ahead, you stay right there, you 65-year-old ponytail, earring-wearing, immature man. You might be saved, but you don't act like it. I'm leaving you. Keep right on going. Amen?
Amen.
Now, I'm telling you all that. And I know, listen, there's people that come to this church who have quit growing. It's my job to restart them. It's my job to encourage them. It's my job to sometimes fuss at them.
Amen.
I'm not good at fussing, am I? What?
Yes.
I'm going to say it again. I'm not good at fussing, am I?
Yes.
Oh, God. Y'all want, I'm not good at fussing, bless God. I'll shame you into it. I'll shame you into it. I don't have to fuss at you. I'll just shame you. You'll be too ashamed not to do it when I get through. Amen?
Amen.
Now listen, some of you are carrying heavy loads. And I'm doing a pastoral sermon, okay? You're carrying heavy loads. But it ain't time to compromise. It's not time to stop. You know what you need to do when you get tired? You ever heard of a second wind? Pray and say, Lord, fill me with your spirit. I need some strength. I need a little extra start today. And you know what he'll do? He'll give you what you need. You say, Lord, I'm about to lose all my friends because I'm fixing to make a decision for Christ that's going to offend them. And they're not going to like me if I start being like that, or if I say I'm going to do this or do that. And they're not going to like me. You know what you need to do? Forget the friends and follow Christ. I'm going to tell you what you're going to do if you don't. You're going to become one of those friends.
That's right.
Get your eye on the prize.
Hey.
I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand. By faith on heaven's table land. Then I have found feet on higher ground. That's what we want, ain't it? If everybody in this room would do that, we won't fall and we won't fail. But if you do fall and you keep that in mind, you'll get back up. You will not be a failure. Okay? Don't be a used to and a has been. Just keep pressing on. Keep pressing on. You know what it comes to? I have to pray, if there's anything in my life, Lord, that doesn't please you and it will hinder my spiritual growth, I'd rather have you than that. You know, most churches preach a Christianity without sacrifice anymore. There is sacrifice in being a Christian. I said there is sacrifice in being a Christian. That's why the Apostle Paul said, if in this life only, we have hope, we're all men most miserable. Because we do a lot of sacrificing to be a good Christian. Why do you think he said, take up your cross daily and follow me? It's not a one-time experience. Every day we've got to pick up that cross of Christ, and we suffer for it. Amen. And we sacrifice for it. Amen. And we endure hardness for it. Yes. Because we know this is not heaven. And look, there's a great cloud of witnesses watching us up there and down here. Yes. And I don't want to fail. I want to finish well, don't you? When people come to my funeral, I want them to know that I finished well. Amen? You know what happened? Even your enemies will be at peace with you, because they'll say, you can't change her mind. You can't change his mind. And then when they come to your funeral, they'll say, I didn't always agree with them, but boy, they practice what they preach. Amen? That's what we need. No compromise. Keep growing. Keep going. Don't stop. Now, if we could get just this crowd right here to do that. I'm not talking about folks that come in there, you know, we got Sunday morning crowd, we got some come once a month, twice a month, but if we could just get this crowd right here to get this in mind, you don't have to fail. You can be a good Christian. You don't have to compromise. You don't have to stop growing. If we just get this crowd... You know what? Within a year, we'd have to build bigger buildings, because people would see Christ in you, the hope of glory, and they'd be asking you about it. They'd say, well, you're going through all this. Why don't you just quit? And you say, I can't quit. Well, I remember when other people quit because of that, and you're still going on. I can't quit. I am what I am by the grace of God. And I'm going on. I'm not quitting. I'm going to finish. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to quit. I'm going to finish a winner. Amen? Amen. Let's do that this week. Stand, if you will. Come on, brother. 325. 325. 325. It takes sacrifice. It takes endurance. But he'll give you grace. He'll give you grace to do it. Amen. 325. Let's sing first, second, and last verse.